This is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Prince Bishop's Hospital Radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to New Day Dawning. This is Sheila Hummel bringing you inspirational songs, music and some reflection on Scripture. In the church calendar today, it's Trinity Sunday, so we'll be exploring this word Trinity, which simply means one God in three persons. I hope you'll find the programme interesting. Let's start off, though, with a song based on the Old Testament reading for today from Isaiah chapter 6. You're bound to recognise the tune after the first few bars. It's a good old Geordie favourite. This song is called Isaiah the Prophet from the album Kaleidoscope of Characters.
Isaiah's name's a strange one, he got it from his mum, and not because one eye was higher than the other one. And once the lad became a man, he'd many gifts and graces, saw a vision of the Lord in the temple of all places. Might I add, two angels flew above him, crying, Holy, Holy Lord, they sang aloud God's praises. As I am that inadequate, so frightened at the scene, he shouted out, I am a wretch, I'm lost and I'm unclean. An angel took a live coal from the altar with some tongs, and as he touched his mouth, he said, your many sins have gone. God said, I need a messenger, who will my servant be? Isaiah answered in a flash, said, here I am, send me. Might I add, Isaiah, he was faithful, told sinful folk the word of God and spoke it to their faces. And even though they stopped, the ears were deafened to the truth. He wrote down all his prophecies, they're in God's holy book. They tell us of a virgin birth, a son Emmanuel, whose rule and reign will never end, that on the earth he dwell. They tell us of his message, his life, the pain he bare, and how this king would suffer for all people everywhere. Might I add, this isn't just a story, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we are far from glory. The word of God will stand forever firm and strong and true. Whether or not you live, it is completely up to you.
No prizes for guessing the tune there. Of course, it was the Bladen Races. That song was all about a prophet called Isaiah being caught up in worship as he sees a wonderful vision of God seated on a throne. He's high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. Angels are hovering above him, crying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. As Isaiah gazes upon God in worship, his vision is so real that his entire life is transformed, and he becomes God's messenger. He hears God's voice saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And Isaiah replies, Here I am, send me. Isn't it strange how God uses the plural, us, who will go for us, just as he did at creation when he said, Let us make man in our own image. But this must have been some vision. I wonder how we picture God. A teacher once asked a child in her class what he was drawing, and he told her that he was drawing God. But no one really knows what God looks like, she said to him. They soon will when I finish this picture, said the child. Our second hymn comes from this Old Testament reading. It's sung in many churches on Trinity Sunday. Holy, 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 sung to us today by Keith Green from the album Songs for the Shepherd. Keith's wife, Melody, recalled how she saw tears rolling down her husband's cheeks during these recording sessions as he sang. He died in 1982, 3 months after recording this album, in an aeroplane crash, along with two of his children. Keith and his wife were both Jewish believers in Jesus. they put love into action, opening their home to those who had great needs. So let's listen to his voice and hear how much love he had for the God he believed in. About you, but there's something that really moves my spirit when I hear someone sing from the heart like that. God in three persons, blessed Trinity, he repeats there at the end. So what does this mean? What is the Holy Trinity all about? We were walking through Hyde Park one Sunday morning many years ago, and we came to Speaker's Corner, and we heard a man yelling at the top of his voice, preaching from a soapbox. How can Christians say there is one God when they speak of three gods, he said. One is not three and three is not one. I can't find this word Trinity in the Bible, he shouted. Who can explain it all to me? How can three be one? He was really worked up. He was calling into question the Christian belief in the Trinity that one God exists in three persons, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And he was right in saying that the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but it is implied throughout. So I spoke to him. Excuse me, I said. Christians don't believe in three gods. They believe in one God made of three persons. And three can be one. For example, one wicket is three stumps. Volume is length times breadth times height. Water is vapour, liquid and ice. And a human can be child, parent and grandparent at the same time. So one, indeed, can be three. Gradually a crowd gathered round us as we aired our views. And aren't we so privileged to live in a country which allows us the freedom to do this? Now, I was no expert in theology. I wouldn't even say I am now. But I had read my Bible many times and had come to my own conclusions from what I'd read. And from the beginning of the Bible to the end, these three persons are there linked together and in harmony with one another. So I began. First of all, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, his Spirit hovered over the face of the water, and God spoke life into being with his word and said, "Let us make man in our image." St. John, who was the disciple closest to Jesus, explains to us in his Gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." He goes on to say that God's word became flesh. In other words, he became human and dwelt among us. There's the mystery. It's so difficult to understand. This very short piece of music next was based upon that reading in St. John's Gospel, chapter 1. And it was the opening song in a Christmas play we once did at school. Let's just reflect on these words. with the title In the Beginning from The Christmas Story. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning all things were made, and without Him nothing was made. In Him was life, light of all humankind. In Him was light, wondrous light, a light the dark could never chase away. In the beginning, in the beginning. Part of our gospel reading for today says exactly the same there as John chapter 1. One of the Pharisees, a man of great learning and a member of the Jewish ruling council, has come to find out more about Jesus. He recognizes him as a teacher and a worker of miracles, but he wants to know more about Jesus, who he is and what he came to do. Jesus tells him that he needed to be transformed in his thinking, born all over again to understand the things of God. This is what Jesus goes on to tell this scholar, Nicodemus. Reading from John 3:16, you may recognize the reference from posters held high at sporting events all around the world. This is what it says: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." A lot of what we as Christians believe about the Trinity rests on what we believe about Jesus. Was he indeed God's one and only Son? Was he divine as well as fully human? Here on earth for a time and then restored to heaven again. In Philippians we read what scholars believe is an ancient Christian hymn about Jesus. And it says this: "Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." This reading makes me think of a story in which a disheveled-looking student once entered a very conservative church, which had been trying to reach out to students but didn't quite know how to. The lad didn't know where to sit, so he wandered down the aisle looking for a seat and ended up at the front. So he just sat down in the carpet in front of the preacher, who was right in the middle of his sermon. One of the stewards, a well-dressed and dignified man, hobbled slowly down to the front, aided by his walking stick, to where the student was sitting. Everyone looked a little uncomfortable. Even the preacher stopped preaching, all assuming that the steward would simply tell the student to move on. Instead, this elderly man lowered himself with great difficulty and sat down on the carpet beside the lad. And there was silence. Then the preacher continued, "What I'm about to preach, you will never remember. What you have just seen, you will never forget." He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant. Here is a song called The Servant King by Graeme Kendrick.
From heaven you came, helpless babe, entered our world, your glory veiled, not to be served, but to serve. You gave your life that we might live. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now ship to the Seven Kings.
Then we have the fact that Jesus' opponents believed he was making himself out to be God. He was forgiving people their sins, and as they said, only God could do that. He was breaking God's holy law by actually healing people on God's holy day, the Sabbath. And on one occasion, when the crowds took up stones to kill Jesus, he asked them, "Why are you stoning me?" And they replied, "Because you, a mere man, claim to be God." Even the crowd who listened to him had come to the same conclusion. And his disciples came to see that he was more than a mere man when he stilled the storm, saying, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and waves obey him?" Thomas, at Jesus' resurrection, addressed him as "My Lord and my God," and Jesus accepted his worship. And then we have the outrageous claims Jesus made about himself, such as, "I and the Father are one," or, "Before Abraham was, I am," and, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and he who lives and believes in me will never die." Philip once said to him, "Show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And Jesus replied, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." Jesus didn't just talk about God. He often stood in God's place acting and speaking for him. Here's a song of worship called "Jesus, Name Above All Names," written by Nada Hearn.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer,
the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit appearing in the Bible as one in concert with each other, we have Jesus' baptism, where the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus as he's baptized, and the Father declares his pleasure in his Son. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus commands his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke about returning to his Father so the Holy Spirit could come and make himself known to his followers. And we only have to read the book of Revelation at the end of the Bible to see the three there working together as one. The one who became human and took on flesh and died for us is now pictured as a lamb for the sacrifice. He's there with God on the throne, and the Spirit is speaking to the churches. So we can see how in the Bible, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all inextricably linked together, yet are quite separate, and all have separate tasks. It's also made clear in Scripture that the Holy Spirit is subordinate to the Father and Son, and the Son is subordinate to the Father, and yet they're all one. No wonder Christians came to believe in one God existing in three persons. Here's a song by Northumbria Community, which reads like a prayer, the offering of ourselves to the Triune God.
O God and Spirit and Jesus the Three, from the crown of my head, O Trinity, to the soles of my feet, mine offering be. From the crown of my head, O Trinity, to the soles of my feet, mine offering be. Come I with my name and my witnessing, come I with my come I unto thee, O Jesu, my King, O Jesu, Jesu, do thou be my sheltering. My head, O Trinity, to the soles of my feet, mine offering be. Come I with my name and my witnessing, come I with my contrite heart, confessing, come I unto thee, O Jesu, my King, O Jesu, Jesu, do thou be my sheltering, O Jesu, Jesu.
One of the best drawings of God I ever saw was a picture by one of my pupils at school in an RE lesson. His vision of God was just one huge question mark. When he handed it in, I just smiled and thought, he's got a point. So if you're more confused than ever by today's thoughts on the Trinity, then that's good in a way, because someone once said if God was stripped of mystery, he would cease to be God at all. So let's leave the discussion for today and focus, as we should, on God's greatness, and just seek his truth and his purpose for our lives as we listen to our final hymn today. It's based upon a prayer thought to have been written by St. Patrick, who once, when explaining the Trinity to a crowd, likened God to a shamrock. Have a close look when you next see one. It's by Northumbria Community again, and it invites God to come and be present, to protect and guide us. And it's called I Bind Unto Myself This Day. May I leave you, though, with a prayer, which can be found in the Bible in 2 Corinthians, written by St. Paul. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Bye for now.
I bind unto myself this day the strong name of the Trinity. I humbly praise thee, O full name, the three in one, the one in three, of whom all nature hath creation,
with me and Christ within me,
eternal Father, Spirit,
Christ behind me and Christ before me.
Praise to the God of my salvation.
With me,
salvation is of Christ
before me.
I bind this day to me forever by power of faith, Christ's incarnation. His baptism in the Jordan River, his death on cross for my salvation.